News Radio 92.3 get you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. Local programming from 5 a.m. until 11 a.m. with Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Expert Panel. Local programming from 4 to 7 p.m. with Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie. And local programming at night with a simulcast of WEAR-TV News. Live and local with News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. At 7:39, I'm Andrew McKay. We've got D.C. Reeves on the line. He is the mayor of Pensacola. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you. That's the first time I've ever heard other words in that song.
I know. We normally get to it so fast, but you and I got caught chatting offline, and I'm like, oh, the music's playing. Let's go. We got to go. $1 million for a tree planting grant focused on what some people are calling tree deserts or, you know, underserved communities, low-income areas. This seems like a big deal.
Yeah. If you think about now, we were having lots of conversations about what is ultimately about a $300,000 tree planting trust fund that we've had for many, many years. This is $1 million. And we have designed it on purpose. Our application said, we have several areas of need. And when we've studied our own tree canopy and seeing where there are trees, we're like most cities in the country, which is in the higher income areas. Think about, East Hill, East Pensacola Heights, Port of the Park. We've got better tree canopy than the places where you took out interstates, decades ago and where that has not been taken care of as much generationally. So we have, as I said in the press conference, it's unfortunate but opportunistic that we have many places we can go in tomorrow and start being able to plant these trees. So $700,000 for just strictly tree planting. We actually hire an urban forester, and I keep asking if he has to wear some kind of ranger uniform. I may require it, but we are going to hire an urban forester to really have the lay of the land of how we're going to spend this money, as well as I'm sure give us great insight and feedback into the rest of our tree canopy throughout the city. So we're very, very excited to get that. And again, kudos to our grants office and everyone else, Public Works, our arborist, everybody involved in getting this done.
No, it's a really good note. I would be remiss if I didn't ask the question, mostly in jest. Also, you referenced it in the Pensacola agenda, in the agenda review, but none of this is going to be used to remove trees, though, right?
Yeah, I know. I want to leave that open just for fun, but no.
We don't want to dwell on that. Let's just move on. So, but seriously, on this topic, we've really had trouble finding places to spend the money to plant the trees. You're saying we can do this. We will blow through that money as quickly as we possibly can in a smart way. I mean,
yeah. I look at it different, Andrew. I really don't think it's not so much that we had a problem finding it, that we never had a cohesive plan. And so, Coincidentally, coming to council in the next 30 days is we're going to bring about what we. I told the council, I promised them that, hey, after all this controversy, I'm going to bring you a plan of how we can get these trees in the ground, use this money. So we're bringing forth about $75,000 of that initial spend of that proposal that we've studied exhaustively about where these trees should go. So I think that's going to be a great pilot for this, coincidentally. But I don't think it's a problem finding the places. It's a problem getting our arms around a plan to move it forward. And I think we've done that. So I think this will be a great little pilot for us here coming up in the next 30 days on the current trust fund. But then now we should know how to get this procedurally going so we can extend it much faster.
Outstanding. Somebody had texted me in the question. I assume the answer here is no, but I'll ask anyway. Any plans to plant any fruit trees in the area? I would assume no, because the water required for them would be so high. But is that even on the radar?
I would leave that definitely to someone better than me, Mayor Wiggins or our arborist.
Nice. Yeah, one of former them. Mayor, right.
Knows more about gardening and planting than I'll ever know. But I think we would entertain anything, but I'd hate to say we would or wouldn't, because I would leave it to them.
I gotcha. Very good. Speaking of having a plan and understanding what your inventory is and knowing what it's going to cost to keep it and to maintain it, oh my God, the Bay Bluffs Park thing. It's heartbreaking because that's such a great amenity. but it's closed, not safe. Don't go. $1 million is the price tag, we think.
That's right. Yeah. As I said in the press conference, look, you know, I promise I didn't run for this job to come close your parks or your community centers. That's not what I want to do. It's not what our Parks and Rec Department wants to do. It's just we've turned over a rock, a generational rock, that we didn't put enough structure in place to be able to keep an eye on these things and take care of them when we should have. And so that's not any one person or any one department. It's just a generational priority list. And it probably dates back well before this mayor, strong mayor format and other things. Just it's got to be a priority when you build these things. And so I promise all of our citizens that anything that's being built or has recently been built, that infrastructure will be in place moving forward. But yet again, another example of something that we just didn't keep our eyes on and as a city. And we looked at options like popping a board off and putting a board on. That was my question at the beginning. It's like, guys, this is a boardwalk. Like,
right. How bad can it be?
Right. Can we send someone in there with some 2x4s and let's get this thing done, you know? And but the problem is it's the pilings. It's what's going into this eroding bluff that is rotting. And when you start talking about that, now you're talking about the stability of the entire structure and in significant expense to get a team to go in there. I'm afraid to even know what the demo price is going to be. We don't know that yet. I think it's going to be whatever you're thinking in your head. I think it's going to be way higher because it's going to be a difficult demo to get in there,
and
get
the
a crew in there,
right,
be able to get everything out.
Yeah.
So, we've talked about a multitude of options moving forward, and so all I can say is it's closed indefinitely. We'll look for grant funding. We probably would not replace it exactly the way it is right now. You know, there's been conversations about what if we blaze trails back there and that it's not on the wooded platform? What if we just leave it open? You know, we'll entertain that as it comes. But yes, unfortunate news, not news I like to deliver. But at the end of the day, we've got to do what's right for the safety of the citizens and our kids and everybody that's playing back there.
Can I just be the layman on this for a second? Because obviously we've had problems with graffiti and keeping it clean and all that. That's never ending. But as many times as I have been up and down that structure, I never felt that it was, and I've been on a lot of rickety decks and things in my life, and I never felt any wiggle, uncertainty, unsafety. Like, it's not even close in just my personal experience. So really, how bad can it really be if it doesn't give off any of that sense? Is it really urgent? Could you not just put up signs that say, hey, you know, we found some things, proceed at your own risk? I mean, it seems like closing it is too much.
Yeah, the options presented to me were there was a Band-Aid approach that I was told may give us 3 more years. That would have been a significant 6-figure expense.
Okay.
Significant. So meaning that then we throw that out in 3 years and start over. So I was given an option of that. But look, I hear you, and trust me, it's self-policing. If there was some way for us to make this work and continue to have it open, I mean, put yourself in my position. Well, trust me, we would entertain that if that was possible,
yeah.
If that was something that was given to me. But the cost benefit of extending such a short amount of time, I don't think is responsible with a taxpayer dollar. If it was $100,000 or less, something like that, where we could get it going a little bit, I would be okay with that. But the number, even that, was too steep. So we still have some examination to do. Don't get me wrong, not on whether we close it or not, but just what our next step forward is. We're still waiting on some pricing and other things, but so more to come. But that's just the reality where we are. We've had it closed since March. The taxpayer was due an update, and that's where we are as we sit here today.
All right. Well, you know, I know you know this. As you said, you didn't run to be the guy who closed community centers and park facilities, but that is just a fantastic amenity that I'm sure people are just heartbroken is not going to exist, especially as we're finally coming into the part of the year where people could use it more because of the weather. We're talking to D.C. Reeves. Hang on for just a second, Mr. Mayor. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Accident on 29 and 9.5 mile, right in the middle of the road, blocking things. It was both directions. Now it's mainly southbound. It's backed up to Kingsfield in 29. And a truck turning around on Pine Forest in 297A. Is blocking things in every direction, north and southbound on Pine Forest and westbound on 297A. If you have a traffic tip, text it in, if you could, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Something caught my attention in the city council meeting, that an item that I just kind of caught me sideways because I didn't know what was going on, but you took money out of and defunded $200,000, I believe, out of the Women Veterans Memorial Fund, and put it into the Chappie James Flight Academy classroom. I remember there was something where the, you know, I don't know. We have the monument, and then we have the Amtrak station that had been converted over into the museum, and I haven't kept up on this, but what's going on here? Is this not happening now?
Yeah, the last conversation we've had with them was that group asking out of their lease at the Amtrak station.
But, okay.
Where they weren't going to be able to meet those financial obligations, those benchmarks that they had to be able to lease the building. And so now we're looking into using that building long-term, fingers crossed, maybe passenger rail, but in the short term, we may use that as an amenity for our staff, our city employees, in the meantime, just to have something occupied in there. But that's the last conversation we've had with them. So the Chappie James Museum, also an asset of ours,
right.
They had gotten some grant funding early on. It got, you know, we dealt with some complexity to that. So this is the here and now right in front of us to be able to capitalize on that grant. And so that's why that decision was made. But as far as what the update is, certainly you'd have to talk to that organization. We have not heard from them since we received that letter many months ago.
All right. So the Amtrak station is back to being vacant, and there's no real pending plans for the monument either. Is that kind of where we stand as far as you know?
As far as I know,
that's
correct.
Wow. Bummer, man. I was so excited about that monument. All right. Fair enough. Last thing is this weekend, Saturday, you have the big move from Moreno Street to Brent Lane. Both locations are now inside the city, although I think the travel route will probably go outside of the city to get there. What is the city's involvement in the move facilitating it? I know we've had a lot of conversations about what's going to happen to the old property, the building, the demolition, the cost, the grants, and all of that. But the move itself, what is the city's participation in that process?
I know we will have a heavy presence with our first responders. I know we're going to be a large part of that. And Mike, tomorrow, probably can give you even more details on exactly what they're going to do, how many folks. But we've had conversations with both police and fire that we're going to have heavy involvement in that, I'm sure the sheriff's department
right.
and others will have. It's going to be quite a move. And as you said, we at the city continue to have conversations. We have, I believe, a meeting scheduled next week to try to get through our punch list items of what Baptist would be obligated to and what we would be obligated to in terms of a potential donation of that property and being able to procure grant funding. So that's our side of it. But, yeah, I know we'll have many of our heroes out there trying to help what will be, I think, quite an amazing feat to get an entire hospital moved from one to the other in a matter of a day. So
absolutely will be.
Best wishes to them, the Baptist, and everybody involved.
All right. We always like to end with the lightning round. If you've got a piece of fruit that has part of it is really, really bad, an apple, a banana, something, or an orange, but the rest of it seems fine, are you a eat the good part or throw the whole thing away kind of person?
That's two case by case. I'm willing to take a look at cutting off the bruise of an apple. I'm willing to look at it. Depends on how hungry I am.
All right. Desperation makes for compromises, right? Have you ever worn jorts? They're coming back, apparently. That's what they tell me.
Yeah, but not because they were cool. maybe in high school, you know. But I also had a bowl cut then, you know. So someone's probably got a photo of a bowl cut with me in jorts at some point. But, yeah, that was I was well behind the times then. I'm not going to catch back up now.
Is there any other very embarrassing clothing that you ever wore that you really wish you had not worn now?
No, actually, one that I wore by myself that's now cool. I'm sorry. I was fashion forward. I used to wear basketball jerseys. I was a big basketball player. I wore basketball jerseys all the time in middle school, and I was the only one. Now everyone does it. See?
You were cool before it was cool. Okay, trendsetter. I like that.
Yeah.
And tell me something that you learned in school that you have never, ever had to use in your real life. Maybe something that you even suspected at the time you would never, ever need in your real life.
Yeah, whatever's past Algebra 1, I don't remember what it was, but
geometry, trigonometry, pre-calc, calc, none of that?
Algebra 2, I said to myself, and it was really rationalization to not do the homework, but I just said to myself, I'll never need this, so eat that, you know, whoever was I don't think I've needed it so far.
But certainly basic math kind of helps when you're running a city and a business, right?
Hey, look, triple-digit multiplication and whatnot, anything past that, I think we're
maybe not be necessary. Very good. Mayor D.C. Reeves, as always, good to talk to you, sir. We'll look forward to talking to you again next week. Thank you so much for the time, as always. I appreciate it.
Of course. All right, guys. Y'all have a good one.
You too.